the Life Debt Podcast. I'm Johnny Ohm, and I'm still suffering, but I can speak, which is a lot better than last week, let me tell you. So, Star Wars, I don't think there's not been like a ton of new stuff that happened. I think we've got that, a new trailer or teaser for the Book of Boba Fett, which was called Message. And basically, it's much of the same, a couple of new shots. The one shot that kind of got everyone buzzing was Boba Fett in a battle tank. You know, which explains why he looks a lot less funky than he did in The Mandalorian, in a lot of this stuff. And you know, I think we all kind of knew it was going to happen. I kind of guessed. I mean, it's something that they needed to do, really, to cut costs. Because you can't really spend that much time. I mean, you could, but you don't really want to be spending all that money on prosthetics for, like, the whole season, where he's, you know, just to kind of make him look funky, like Sarlacc Pit, disheveled. Sarlacc Pit chic. You know, you kind of wanted it to look more, you know, you want him to look a bit more normal. And maybe they'll, and you know, like we, there's also a shot of Boba Fett and Fennec in a hangar with the with Slave One in the background, and Boba is wearing his Tatooine gear. So what I mean by that is like the black robes with the gaffy sticks, like we see him in the first episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian. And how he looks on Tython when he arrived, when him and Fennec arrive. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that they want. Rather, you know, the way that they can do it is using like old beat up Sarlacc chic Boba to kind of be like, this is those kind of 5-6 years. After the Sarlacc pit, before he gets, the armor back, then you'll have like probably nice clean Boba for, or like regular Boba for like any flashbacks pre Sarlacc, and then you've got nice new painty Boba and less Sarlacc chic. To kind of be like, yeah, this is like now. So, you know, it's a great way of them doing it, like just kind of like making it look, giving you like different looks and get different feels to differentiate the different timelines without having to keep going, oh yeah, this so many years later, or so many, or this time, how long before. Did it get me buzzed? Yeah, I'm buzzed. I know I don't sound it. But I am buzzed. I'm buzzed for the Book of Boba Fett. I'm always buzzed for new Star Wars. I think the difference here is, like, I don't know what to expect. Like, with Mandalorian Season 2, you kind of knew what to expect. You were going to get more of, I wouldn't say more of the same, but it's, because Mando Season 2, like, I felt more hyped for Mando Season 2, and I don't know, and maybe I'm just, like, tempering expectations, maybe I'm just, like, keeping everything kind of trodden down, maybe it's the cold, maybe it's just kind of affecting me on a hype level, but, no, I'm looking forward to it, I am, and I think maybe once I've got Christmas out of the way, because I, as much as Christmas is fun and enjoyable for people, I'm a bit of a grouch when it comes to Christmas. I don't like the pomp and circumstance. I don't like the inevitable. We're going for food. You know, I don't like. I'm a kind of a stay-at-home kind of guy, and Christmas every year, like yesterday, we put the decorations up, and then we watched a bunch of Christmas movies, and one of which was The Grinch, the new animated version. And I'm just like sat there, and I'm like, I identify with The Grinch so much. Maybe I just need my Cindy Lou Who. I need a Cindy Lou Who to make me love Christmas. I just think it's a lot of effort for one day. I'd happily buy my kids stuff, you know, if we said it's like first birthday, second birthday, anything like that. But yeah, Christmas, in fact, you've got to be so happy and jolly and nice to everyone. No. Anyway, so yeah, maybe like once that's out of the way, I'm going to be like, right, now it's time for my celebration in like 4 days. I think that's probably what it is. It's probably, yeah, Christmas is in the way. I've got all this stuff that's in the way of it. And once you can breathe it in, once it's there, I'll be like, yes, give me Fett. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. My wife bought me the recent issue of Empire with Boba Fett on it. And like the whole article, and I haven't read it yet. I keep meaning to pick it up and read it, but I just haven't committed like the 10 minutes that it would take. I think this is having kids, isn't it? He's just like, right, I'm gonna do that, and then you know they take an extra hour to go to sleep, so like you're like, oh okay, right, well I was gonna read that and do other things, but no, not now. I'm just gonna sit, watch telly, and go to sleep. I'm really grumbly. I need this cold to go away. Maybe that's what it is. I'm just far too grumbly because of the cold. Because it's kicking my ass. So. Yeah, we've got the teaser for Boba Fett. I'm just trying to think what else kind of. Oh, we got the cover artwork for a special edition of Claudia Gray's The Falling Star, which is the last Del Rey novel of the first wave of. Is it first phase? Yeah, first phase of the High Republic. So we're hitting wave 3 of High Republic in January. And we've got like a special edition cover from some company. I can't remember the name of it, but they do like, oh, is it out of print? Yeah, I think it's out of print books or something. And they do these really kind of nice special edition versions of books. They've done one for each of the High Republic Del Rey novels, and We got a tease of Wave 3. Someone, I can't remember the artist, but they did a poster featuring all of the Jedi that have, like, been featured in so far. And in the background, Starlight Beacon is on fire. So this new cover has some beautiful, absolutely stunning artwork. It is gorgeous, and it's of a group of Jedi with one of them with their lightsaber lit, and they are watching as debris is falling from the sky, including Starlight Beacon, which is an absolute flaze. It's falling from the sky into an ocean. What the hell is going to happen? And I don't know. I have no idea. What I can tell you is so I'm recording this Monday. This segment is being recorded Monday. Last Friday, I had an email exchange with a lovely lady from Penguin Random House, who are kind of like the big, it's like the big publisher, and then it's like subsidiaries, of which Del Rey in the UK is one of them. And I was speaking to her because this week they are getting the review copies of Falling Star and paperback copies of Rising Storm, and though those will hopefully be being shipped out at the end of next week. No, the end of this week. Sorry, at the end of this week, ready for next week. So hopefully next week, Fallen Star will be arriving, and I am like really excited and also very trepidatious because, oh man, I am so gonna cry, aren't I? Something is gonna make, like, I've got a feeling like Kevin Scott, like, you know that meme where it's like, hold my beer? Like the hold my beer memes. I've got a feeling like Kevin Scott is the top one, and Claudia Gray is just like, hold my beer. You know? What we got in, and Rising Storm is like the emotional roller coaster that you never really expected from a Star Wars novel. I never expected it to be like that deep and intense and heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, wow. So yeah, I wasn't expecting it to like kind of end the way it did. Everything that kind of happened, like, I could not believe. And of course, everyone's been like, oh yeah, Kevin Scott, he's like, Kevin Scott likes killing people. Kevin Scott kills off people that we like. You know, he's that guy. Like, I kind of feel like people are looking at him like he's the George R. R. Martin of Star Wars. And I reckon in this one, Claudia Gray's just going to be like, oh, you thought that was devastating. Okay, hold my beer, or hold my Bantha juice, or whatever. And is basically writing us into depression. And I cannot wait. I also can wait, because I don't know if I'm emotionally ready for what is about to occur. I mean, this could all just be like, oh yeah, like, we're going to make it look like everyone's going to, or like a bunch of your favourite characters are going to die. Make it look like the shit and the fan are being mushed together. But it could be like a Dave Filoni pulling the rug out from under us. Like, oh my god, I can't believe they killed Ahsoka. Oh, wait, no, there she is walking through a door. Oh my god, I can't believe that we'll never see Ahsoka again. Oh look, Ezra pulled her through time. Oh my god, where is Ahsoka now? Yeah, I'm kind of like hoping that Claudia doesn't pull the Dave Filoni and not kill someone. Not kill people. Because I kind of feel like, because we don't know what's going to happen, because we don't know anything, like, of the High Republic. We don't know anything about the High Republic apart from there's a Master Trennist who leaves the Order, and the only Trennist we have ever met is Keeve Trennis from the comics. So I'm like, I mean, I think everyone's like, could she be the one? But yeah, I think like she's the one who's going to survive to a degree. Like, something's going to happen that'll make her leave the Order. I don't know when it'll be. I have no idea when that would happen. But you know, that's like the one hint that we have for like the future of the High Republic. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, we don't know what's gonna happen. It's kind of like hot, kind of daunting, kind of, it's very exciting not having an end game, like an end in place. So yeah, and like I said, this out of print cover looks absolutely beautiful. And yeah, it's one that, you know, if they were to make a poster, I would love it. One thing I've been thinking about, and this is something that it's been on my mind for a few days now. As followers of the blog will know, I have undertaken once again the task of reviewing the Lego Star Wars Advent Calendar every day. So currently, today is day number 6, and you know, this, there's always been kind of, I've always felt like there was a theme to the Lego Advent Calendars. I think one was my first one I got was in 2018, and that felt very Last Jedi. Mostly, there was a lot of Last Jedi to it. So that was 2018, 2019. I can't really remember. I think that was more of a original trilogy feel to that one. and so this, I missed out on 2020, so I couldn't really tell you about that one. But 2021 is The Mandalorian and the Child. And I think Mandalorian showed up in the last one, but I don't think it was like, I think in the end, I think like the big final ones, like the big festive pieces were like C-3PO or something last year. This year, of course, it's all about The Mandalorian and the Child. And I mean, so far, it's 6 out of 6. I'd say we've had 5 good sets. 5 good mini sets. Like, sometimes it's a bit hit and miss. Sometimes you get a string of duds. But so far this year, the Advent Calendar has been pretty on the mark. Like, day one was a mini Razor Crest. Like a mini build Razor Crest, and it's fantastic. It's a gorgeous looking little version of the Razor Crest. The second was Rio Mars Bounty Hunter Starfighter, which, like, I couldn't name it. I had no clue what the name was, but as soon as I saw it, I'm like, that's the guy who Mando fights in Chapter 5 and blows up. And it's like, oh my god, they made a little tiny build out of that. That's cool. Day 3 was a Stormtrooper. Now, yeah, every year, without fail, in the Advent Calendar, you get a Stormtrooper of some variety. You know, it's just the way it's done. You know, you've got to expect it. And when he came with no blaster or anything, I was like, right, okay, so tomorrow we're going to get some sort of blaster rack or blaster cannon. And I was right, we got a blaster cannon on day 4. And it's not just any blaster cannon, it's a snowball launching blaster cannon. So yeah, it's got a little stud launcher and it fires little white studs. I mean, of course you can change the studs out to be whatever you like, but the ones it comes with are white, so it's a snowball launcher. And then we got the dud on day 5, which was 2 targets. Target practice, targets. I mean, it's cool, like, you can shoot your little stud launcher at it and it'll knock them down. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was like 6 little pieces that don't exactly amount to a lot. So it was like, oh, okay, well. But then today, day 6, it's the Imperial Assault Marauder. So it's like that, kind of like the thing that looks like an Imperial troop transport from Mandalorian Chapter 12 that Cara Dune, Mithril and Greef Karga escaped the Imperial facility in. And that, like, it's like the Razor Crest and Rio Mars Starfighter. It just looks absolutely gorgeous. It looks fantastic. just the way that it can pull detail out of, like, 10-12 bricks is just, it baffles me how they can do it. Like, I'd be sat there going, okay, I've got these, what can I do? I'd like to be completely out of my depth. But you know, these Lego designers, just every year these mini builds get better and better. Like, I remember we got the the TIE Fighter. The TIE Fighter design, I don't think it's changed much over the years. Like, of the mini builds at least. But like, I think the year before last, there was like a little Naboo Starfighter, which looks absolutely fantastic. And I can guarantee you, if next year they brought out the N1 Starfighter in Lego, in the Lego Advent Calendar, I swear down, like, it would be a better looking. And this one looks good. Like, don't get me wrong. The one that came in, like, the one a couple of years ago, looks fantastic. But, you know, just the way that they design stuff now, I don't know. It would just absolutely make the other one look like far too bulky or whatever. So, like, big props to the Lego Advent Calendar guys. But because of the Lego Advent Calendar, I've been thinking about a bit of merch. And, like, if you look at the history, and this is a bit of a rant about Lego and Lego Star Wars. So if you look back to, like, 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago, 12, no, 10, 8, 9, 10 years ago. So we got, like, maybe 12 years ago even. But anyway, so, like, Lego were bringing out, like, sets based on, like, video games and books and all these, like, kind of the ancillary materials. And I kind of feel like, you know, I don't feel like they don't anymore, because they don't anymore. And it's like a complete, they're playing it safe with, like, sets. I mean, come on, how many X-Wings have we had in the last 6 years. In 6 years, okay, we've had 3 Resistance Era Starfighters. X-Wings. 3 Resistance Era X-Wings. So we had Poe's X-Wing and the Resistance X-Wings from Force Awakens. And then we got Poe's X-Wing from Rise of Skywalker. That's 3. We've had 2 Luke Skywalker X-Wings. One that came out in, like, what, 2018? Yeah, came out in 2018. And then the other one that came out in 2020, I think, which was, like, huge because it had Jan Dodonna. Was that the early? It was either earlier this year or some point last year that came out. So 5 X-Wings. We've had, what, 2, 3 pretty normal looking TIE Fighters, 1 Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, and 1 Sith TIE Fighter. So that's 5, 6 again. We've had 4 A-Wings. Wait, 4? No, 3 A-Wings. So Resistance, Return of the Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. 3 Millennium Falcons. Now, granted, each one has had a bit of a different kind of design element to it, but it's 3 Millennium Falcons. Can you see where I'm going here? And that's not including Millennium Falcons. That's not including the Ultimate Collector Series either. So you can see where I'm going here. Like, we're getting a lot of repeats, a lot of upgraded. Yes. Do they look a bit different? Do they have different details? Yes. I'm not going to deny that. But it's all set. It's like, at some point we're going to be like, great, this whole new wave is going to be a Millennium Falcon, an X-Wing, a TIE Fighter, maybe a Slave One. We've had a few of those in the last few years. So it's like, well, can Lego kind of try something a bit different? Go back to when you were making, like, making stuff that isn't in just the films or the cartoons. It's all about High Republic merch, essentially. But, like, LEGO have a history of doing these things. LEGO have got a brilliant history of non-film or series-related sets. Personally, I wouldn't have bought them. I haven't bought them. But that's basically down to the source material. You know, I'm not a Knights of the Old Republic fan. I'm not... So I'm not rushing out to pick up those. I don't want to pick up like Sith fighters and Old Republic Starfighters and Jedi fighters and all those things. But what I would like to see, and it's not like they can't do it because they have the designs. They've got all of the conceptual art. They've got the comics as visual reference. You know, they've got all this content that they can use, and they don't go near it. I want Jedi Vector. You know, get a couple. You can have like Boyaga and his master in a Jedi Vector. You could have, like the Nile ships. Like those feel like cobbled together pieces of junk. And those would lend themselves to an amazing array of LEGO sets. Like, you could have, like, they've just brought this one out, this set out. It's a Harry Potter set, and it's basically a chest. Opens up, and it's got reconfiguration stuff. Like, so, like, inside it, there'll be, like, three beds, and you can, like, reconfigure the beds to turn it into a bench, to turn it into a bunch of benches. And so it, like, changes it from a bedroom to the Great Hall. All these, like, in the outside, it's going to come with a ton of pieces that you're never going to use. Because if you want, you know, if you're like, hey, I like Gryffindor, you're going to use all these red and gold pieces. You're going to leave all your greens and your silvers and your blues and your yellows and your blacks and whatever. You're going to leave them to the side. But it all comes in this one package so that you can customize it to the way you want. Now, if they brought out a Nile ship, like, is it a Nile, a storm ship, or, you know, kind of like the basic kind of fighter kind of ship. If you brought one of those out, and it's got like a basic design, and then it comes with a ton of pieces, and you can do it X, Y, or Z way. Well, that's three. If you've got three versions that you can make, that's three sets that you have sold instantly. Done. So it's like, well, why don't they do that? Why don't they, you know, bring out something like that? All these, like, there's so many figures. Like, I did hear a rumor. I don't know how right true this rumor is. But there's a rumor going around that LEGO are going to be producing some blind bag Star Wars figures, minifigures. So, like, the minifigure collections, like, they do, like, various minifigures with different outfits, different kind of costumes. They've done Harry Potter ones, they've done Warner Brothers ones. I think they did Simpsons ones. I remember buying a couple for a friend of mine. And I did hear that they were looking at doing High Republic, and I think that would be amazing. And, like, let's bring out some ships, let's bring out some vehicles, like, maybe, like, I don't know, can you imagine an Ultimate Collector's Series version of the Starlight Beacon? That would be nuts. I would be all over that. That would be like my first UCS set, Starlight Beacon. Well, that depends on how big it would be. And how long it would take, and how much room it would fill. They've got so many different options that they could look at, and I just kind of feel LEGO isn't It's not just Lego though, it's Hasbro as well. Like, can you imagine? Like, okay, they've stopped doing 3¾-inch figures, but they're doing what, these Action Fleet things? Can you imagine getting like a bunch of Action Fleet based on High Republic? That would be nuts. And you're not just talking kids. Like, kids would be like, oh cool, really cool looking Jedi. You know, maybe kids who don't know what the High Republic is, it might get them into the books. But they'd be like, hey, that Jedi looks really cool. What's an Avar Chris? Let's find out. And suddenly, like, Hasbro are contributing to, like, book sales. Like, look at the lightsaber hilts of these Jedi. Like, they demand to be made as, like, those Black Series Elite lightsabers. Like, Stellan Geos' lightsaber is gorgeous. Can you imagine having that hung up on your wall? Yes, please. Hell, I might even buy that. And I don't buy Black Series lightsabers. You know, you could, like, Hasbro could be doing, like, Black Series High Republic. And maybe, just maybe, we get a wave without a stormtrooper with a bit of mud on it. Well, what's different about this one? Oh, the mud on this one is slightly different to the mud on that one because we used a different splatter array. You know, how many stormtroopers does a person need? And there are completists out there who will have about 100 stormtroopers just because it came out in a wave. You know, how many more Boba Fetts do we need to get in Black Series? Now, okay, I say that just as the Book of Boba Fett is about to come out. And I get the irony there, because of course we're going to get a couple, at least two more Boba Fett in the next year or so, I reckon. But, you know, you've got all this character design, all these different characters, and they're just kind of sat there, and nothing is being done with them. And it's kind of unfortunate because there's so much potential. How can you imagine a little tiny Lego Drengear? That'd be so cool. So yeah, I just kind of feel like on the merch side, everything seems to be slackening, and you know, the options available aren't exactly thrilling at times. Like, the next wave of Lego sets that are coming out. I've done a couple of blog posts on these over the last couple of weeks. Like, the one comes out the day I'm recording this, and the other came out about 2 weeks ago. And it's basically, like, the main set from this first wave in January coming up is the Hoth AT-ST. Now, up until now, since I started collecting, which in 2015, end of 2015, beginning of 2016, we've had three AT-STs. We've had the Rogue One version, we've had the Last Jedi version, but that didn't come with a cockpit or anything. That was basically like the removed head version with BB-8, Finn and Rose sitting on like the platform as it walks. And we got the Mandalorian. So yeah, Mandalorian, Last Jedi and Rogue One versions. So now we're getting the Empire Strikes Back version. Now, yes, each one has been different in some way. So the Rogue One version is pretty much your AT-ST as it stands. The second version is the one from Last Jedi. It was more of it depicted a scene rather than, hey, look, here's this vehicle that you can kind of use to, like, do different stories and stuff for playing. And then you got the one from The Mandalorian, which was from Chapter 4. So it's like all beat up and different colours and everything. And, you know, they're all good in different ways. But now we're getting the Hoth one. And the cockpit is designed slightly differently. because if you look at the AT-ST, the one AT-ST that walks by in the Battle of Hoth, the cockpit is different from the one that we see in, we've said in the Jedi. It's more elongated. It looks more. It's a more squat and elongated than what we get in Return of the Jedi. You know, and it the Lego set, you know, does show that it represents that what that AT-ST. So, you know, it's pretty cool. It looks good. It's another AT-ST, and it's exactly what I said earlier. It's like, look, 4 AT-STs in six years. Can we get something a little different? You know, and that's the big set. You know, the little sets, like, you've got 2 small battle packs, 1 larger battle pack, and a brick head. Now, you're basically army building at this point. You know, you're getting a bunch of snowtroopers and a speeder bike and a blaster and an E-Web and a bit of snow. With that one, you're getting a couple of blasters in another one, and you're getting a clone command post. Now, the clone command post is the only one that actually feels relatively fresh, and that's still it's a remake of one that came out years ago, you know. But that's the one that feels fresh. So I'm kind of like, come on, Lego, give me something new, give me something different. I mean, the last wave was pretty good. I mean, there's still some sets on from that wave that I'm like, I must have. You know, Moff Gideon's Light Cruiser, the Mandalorian Gauntlet Fighter. Those 2 sets are like must-haves for me at this point, right now. as well, you know, and I'm liking the look of the Bad Batch Attack Shuttle, even that. I'm kind of yes and no about it. For various reasons. But yeah, it looks good, and it also just looks like a bit rushed. But I don't want to like miss out on it like I missed out on the Ghost. You know, they bring it out once, and then it's like, yeah, well, you had your chance. Bye. So yeah, I'd like to. I think part of me wants to get it just so I don't miss out on it. You know, this was a decent wave, but you know what? I think, you know, we need to kind of. We need some fresh ideas, fresh looks, fresh builds. I mean, a completely new design. You could have like Jedi Vector. You could like think about how much the designers can like play with this and like use different techniques to give it like this really just different look from, you know, the stuff we've got. I'm not to say the stuff we've got is bad. I'm just, you know, just give it a different feel. Like, just change it up a little. And the High Republic is a perfect opportunity for that. And I kind of feel like a lot of places are missing the mark on it a little bit. And it's kind of like, eh. Come on, Star Wars. Well, come on, Star Wars licensees. Do better. Do better. Well, I'm just about at work. I was actually not going to go for quite as long on this section. I've got another section that I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break. Well, by take a break, it's going to be a click, 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 and I'll be back. For you guys, for me, it's going to be a shift at work. But I've got another section that I'm going to do because it's something that's been on my mind. Bit of a theory that I want to kind of talk about. I think I've spoken about it before, but you know, I could have spoken about it before, I could have written about it before, but it's on my mind, so I'm going to say it anyway. At risk of repeating myself, I will say it anyway. So yeah, I'll be back in just a second, guys, so hold on tight. Bye. And I'm back. So, as I was saying earlier, I was having a theory, which I may or may not have discussed on the show, on the podcast, back in the old days, or I'm pretty sure I've written a post about it, but it was quite a while ago. So I was watching Revenge of the Sith last week, and I wanted to do this last week, but of course, not being of the well, I didn't. So, my theory is, so if you go back to like 2017, 2018, Freddie Prinze Jr., who voiced Kanan on Rebels, did an interview on a podcast, and he went on this, he had this kind of like semi-drunken rant, where he was talking about the balancing of the Force, like the Force create, you know, you've got, you know, and he learned this from Dave Filoni, he learned it from George Lucas, so like the Force creates twin, so you've got like, they create Anakin to bring balance to the Force. That doesn't happen, so the Force balances itself out by bringing Luke and Leia, by having Luke and Leia be there to fight Vader and Palpatine, etc., etc. So, and I was watching Revenge of the Sith around that time, and this is probably when I wrote the post originally, and it's coming back to me again. So, I personally, I don't think, I think when they talk about Padme dying, like Luke not having the will to live and the droids can't figure out why she's dying, I actually think, and this is based on, if you think back to in earlier in Revenge of the Sith, any time Anakin and Padme refer to the child, to the pregnancy, they talk about the baby, and I have a feeling like there was a lot of stuff going on like back in the day when there was talk about Padme being pregnant and she was like trying to keep it a secret. You know, you can't just hide a pregnancy. Like, TV shows do it okay, that's fine, they have their miracle ways of hiding pregnancies, but you know, this isn't, you know, they're not playing this as a TV show, they're playing this as, this is a, you know, this is the story. So, and it kind of ties into the theory that Palpatine drains her life energy, but I don't think Palpatine does. I think so. Padme isn't exactly like massively full to her. I wouldn't say. I'd say Padme's pretty, she's probably about 6 months, give or take. So, I mean, this is hypothesizing that Luke and like a human gestation period is 9 months. That's, you know, we'll go with that. In Star Wars, the human species pregnancy lasts 5 months. So, and she's not full term. If she was full term, she would not be so easygoing on a lot of stuff. I think we could all agree with that. But what I do think is that quite possibly, so she's probably about 5-6 months. You know, it's been. They don't specify how long they've not seen each other for. Anakin and Padme. So, let's say she's 5-6 months, and Anakin does the force choke, and knocks her out, and he knows she's alive. Obi-Wan knows she's alive. I don't think if she was dead or dying, Obi-Wan would not have stopped and fought Anakin. He basically knocked her out, and he knocked her out for a while, and, you know, she's probably very upset and drained, you know, because being pregnant takes a toll on people, on women physically. I can say this as someone who witnessed their partner go through pregnancy. So, you know, I can kind of get why she is how she is. But the fact that she gets weaker and weaker, I don't... It's not Palpatine draining her life energy. I do not believe that for a fact. One bit. I believe that the medical droids worked miracles on Anakin. And did what they could, did what they did to put him in the suit. I personally think the Force pushed along the pregnancy of Luke. I think Luke was the one who she was... I think Luke was the baby. They never refer to the twins. And she wouldn't have been able to keep it a secret. It would not be kept secret. Because, and if you think about it, if you're pregnant, what do? You go to the doctors. You go to medical... You know, you get checked out. You get looked at. You get... You know, you have scans and everything. They're going to do that. You know, it's... It's bizarre to think that Padme would not be doing the 100% best thing for that child. So, if she says she's pregnant and they talk about the baby, Anakin would sense if there was more than one. Anakin can probably sense the child, okay? At that point, he probably can't, you know, he just senses its presence in the Force, not... But he'll be able to sense a presence. So... I mean, we know this because Leia can sense the presence of Ben. She can sense him through the Force. And I don't know... Given Anakin's strength in the Force, surely he'll be able to do the same. Especially with his child. And, you know, they talk about the baby. Not the babies, not the twins, not the kids. So... My theory here is that Luke, at 5 months, is pushed along. That his development is fast-tracked by the Force. The Force makes Luke, like, basically pushes along that pregnancy. It pushes that pregnancy to full term, which would drain Padme. But the thing that probably kills her, the thing that kind of pushes that, if it was probably just Luke, it would have been, I think Padme would have been drained, weakened, and needed like some sort of medical care. But what if Padme, the force itself drained Padme of her power, of her life, and created Leia? I'll pause for effect. So the Force creates Leia. And it would probably explain why Leia is so... Why Leia would be so much like her mother. You know, she goes into politics. I don't think... You know, my dad was as a mechanic. My dad was a mechanic and a... he worked on maintenance vessels. You know, I've never had that inclination whatsoever. My dad is a guitarist. I tried to play guitar. I've never been musically gifted. You know, these interests and these talents don't necessarily pass down. And I don't think, you know, if Leia was at home, like, Leia loves her loves Bail Organa. Bail Organa is her father, it's her dad. You know, she loves him to bits, but does that mean she wants to be a politician? No. But what if that was ingrained in her? Because of the Force, because her life was essentially created by Padme. Her life energy is Padme. What if she took on traits of Padme? Why would she have memories of Padme? You know, she talks about in Return of the Jedi having memories of her mother. She remembers her mother being kind but sad. What if her having this image of her mother these feelings of her mother are passed on to her through the Force, based on her creation. Her creation through the Force. I'm not saying that she is a virgin birth. I'm not saying that she is created. She's probably created by the midichlorians, but she's also probably created from the same genetic material as Luke. You know, they've probably taken, you know, the Force probably needed that, needed a basis. You know, it's not just it's not just cloning Padme, or else it would have just done something with Padme. No, it's creating something with using Luke, but creating life with Luke, you know, based probably the genetic material, the same genetic material that created Luke, the combination of his mother and their mother and father. So Leia, can say Leia is Anakin's daughter. Genetically, yes, but maybe she was created by the Force to create the balance. Maybe that's why Leia and Padme are so similar. Maybe that's why, maybe there could be a reason. That could be a reason why that Luke and Leia don't share a huge connection when they first meet. Like, you hear of siblings meeting for the first time and having this instant connection. Maybe that's why, that could be why that is, you know. Luke having no memory of his mother through the Force, maybe that's because he was the child. How well you drive, man. He was the natural child, not the created child. So there we go. My theory of Force evolution, maybe. There's that. Get in touch with me, please, if you remotely agree. If you disagree, you know, I'd like to hear people's points of view on this. I'll see if I can dig out the old post and stick it in the show notes as well. It'll be one of the Balancing the Force posts on the blog, but I couldn't tell you which one. I think there we go. I don't really have much else to kind of throw out there now, so I'm gonna head on off. I'm gonna say thank you for listening. Sorry for taking a week off last week. Apologies for. I mean, I always thought, I've got two episodes. You know, let's keep going. I've managed to get two episodes out in this new run. Let's keep it going. And then I miss a week. I was kind of gutted, but I've got no clue on how that episode would have sounded, other than terrible. But no, thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch, please email lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. Follow me on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter @lifedebtjohnny. Check out our Facebook group. Just search for My Star's Life Debt and you'll find our Facebook page. Join up there. Tumblr.com/MyStar'sLifeDebt. If you want to pick up some merch, head on over to the Life Debt Merch Cantina MyStar'sLifeDebt.spring.com. And what else? And if you enjoy what you hear, and if you like what you read, please, and wish to support the blog and podcast, please head on over to patreon.com/MyStar'sLifeDebt and sign up there. That would be every contribution is greatly appreciated. And there's a whole bunch of stuff up on Patreon that you can enjoy as thanks. Without further ado, I'm gonna once again thank you for listening and punch it, Chewie.